In the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to the 12th chapter it is. The Bible speaks of the war in heaven. And then after the war, when the serpent is cast out, it says, I heard in the 10th verse, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know, going over to the 12th verse, or the 12th chapter, seeing the war, it's obvious that here that the church has already been caught up to meet God. It makes it more obvious that the church has been caught up when you read just a little bit beyond the 12th chapter. When you go into the 13th chapter and you suddenly discover that coming up out of the waters is this awful beast that the Bible speaks of. When you see him begin to come up out of the waters, then you can be convinced that the church has already gone on to its destination. So then in the 13th chapter, immediately after the war in heaven, this is the thing that I have tried to impress upon your minds, that it is after the war in heaven, which is recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. It is after this chapter, or after the war in heaven, that we find immediately following in the 13th chapter this awful beast coming up out of the waters on earth, having taken on a personification that is in the form of a beast. Not a person, but a beast image. So then, when you really say a personification, you're talking about a human person, because that's where the word comes from. But this is a beast image. He has taken on a beast image. But at the same time, we know that God likens men to beast. Therefore, when you say a human person, you are still speaking of a beast. Anybody or anything that does not have the nature of Jesus could have only one nature, and that is the nature of the beast. You know, we don't like to accept it as human beings. Paul say, I say we to keep from saying you, that is to whom I speak, or who may hear. Wherever these messages go, we don't like to accept the fact that if we are not born again believers, or if we are not the predestinated of God, that we are nothing more than a beast. But it is true. It is no little wonder that scientists should trace their lineage back to the beast, because they are beast. And the whole teachings of the Holy Scripture centers around the fact that God is trying to differentiate between man and beast, not for the sake of himself, but rather differentiate in the sense of giving you the power of differentiation or understanding. That is, to be able to program your mind in such a way that you can tell the difference between beast and sonship, our sons of God. God is simply saying all that is not the membership of God, of his body, are mere beast. He is simply stating that I have, through the act of creation, made mankind. I've made mankind, but in this, I have made a son of God, and I have made a beast, and they have become so intermingled together that the sons of God are lost among the beast lineage. And I have come, God speaking now, I have come in the form of a human person. I, the great Holy Spirit, have taken on a personification as the Son of God. Yet being made in the image of a beast, that is the created human being, I have come into this world for one purpose. That is to seek and to save that which was lost. All right, now then, what was that was lost? One thing, the Son of God. For the Bible said Adam was the Son of God. Adam, the Son of God, being lost, that meant that from that time on, the sons of God was lost among the beast lineage. Adam, the Son of God, who was not in the transgression. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if Adam was the Son of God, why did he sin? The Bible doesn't say that he sinned. The Bible said the man was not in the transgression because the man showed sonship. But the woman being in the transgression, which means that the woman showed the beastly part, the weakness of God, whereas man showed the greatness and strength and glory of God. For man is made for the glory of God. That is to say that he might be illuminated as the sun, which is the glory of God, shining within his strength to project God's greatness, God's attributes. Woman is made for the glory of man, that she might be illuminated with his person, his spirit, and project him, that he might become her strength, in that she is weaker than man, for her to project the spirit of her companion through her, it makes her equal to him in his strength. For man, who is not equal with God, but weaker than God, for man to project the Spirit of God, his head, through him, makes him equal to God, or his strength to be that of the Creator. So then, all in all, as the woman becomes one with the man, and the man becomes one with God, so comes the great, wonderful power and glory of God through the entire creation of mankind. Thus his surroundings, all of his environment, the beast and whatever, have once again the Shekinah glory of God, as was in the garden, covering them and keeping them in a perfect state of health and happiness. So then when we see this, Jesus came for one purpose, seeking, searching. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Adam was lost. Adam, where art thou? He could have said, I am lost. I am lost. I cannot find you, Adam. Where art thou? I am hid. I hid myself. I am lost. You cannot find me. I'm hid.
So was Adam hid. Hid in what way? Because he was hid from the sight of God. God, who walked in the garden in the evening time of life, but had fellowship with Adam and Eve, could no longer have fellowship with Adam and Eve. How was it that Adam was lost? He was hid from the sight of God. God could not see him. Now you would say, well, Brother Pike, now God is Almighty God. God can see everything. But the Bible says that God cannot look upon iniquity. Therefore, God could not see Adam. Adam was lost. He said, thine iniquity has separated between thee and thy God. So then when Jesus hung upon the cross, Jesus taking on the sinful image of iniquity that I am guilty of and that you are guilty of, it caused God once again to turn away from Jesus, and Jesus was lost. Jesus was lost. And God could not see Jesus any longer. For he could not look upon Jesus any longer. And the sun became dark. And Jesus lost sight of the Father. When he said, my God, where did you go? Why hast thou forsaken me, Jesus said. What have I done? Becoming the first man, Adam, the iniquity had come to take the place of the first man, Adam, so that he might be the one to receive the punishment for the transgression, that the Adam might not receive it, so that the first man, Adam, might go free, that at the day of the judgment, the first man, Adam and Eve, might stand in the presence of God and not be guilty of transgression. So then Jesus took it. And the same thing that apparently had separated Adam from God now was separating Jesus from God, and Adam was now free. Why hast thou forsaken me? Thine iniquities have kept thee back from good things and have separated between thee and thy God. So then man doesn't like to acknowledge the fact that without God, he is nothing more than a beast. All of the world wondered after the beast. I say this again. How do they wonder after the beast? As I related to you earlier, just before my sermon, eating, drinking in the last days, marrying, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Double marriages, triple marriages, eating and drinking, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Here they are eating and drinking and having a good time, marrying and divorcing and remarrying, living it up like beasts. That's the life of a beast. That's the way beasts do. Sons of God don't do that. Daughters of God doesn't do that. Why don't they do that? Because they're born of the Word of God. And the Word nature will not do that. If you do that, you do not have the Word nature. The proof of the nature in you being the Word nature. And the proof of you being born of the Word nature is the fact that you honor the Word and that your nature controls you according to the Word. So then, all of the world wondered after the beast. In what way? Wondering after the flesh. Eating and drinking and making money and prestige and power, fame and popularity, loving the admiration and praises of men more than the praises of God. Had rather have somebody over here on the street corner somewhere to praise you and say something nice about you, rather than having a man of God or a Christian to praise you and say something nice about you. When if the preacher or the Christian says something truthfully about you, it is God praising you. And that one on the corner that says something about you is nothing but a mere beast saying something about you. And that, of course, isn't true. All he's doing is saying something to flatter you, to get your money, or to build a pit for you to fall in. That's all it amounts to. Just laying a trap so that he can take you in and swallow you up. So then the world wonders after the beast. And who is the beast? Everyone that is not born to the Christ. Everyone that is not a Christian is the beast. Everyone that's born again is a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Everyone that's not born again is a member of the beast. And all of the world wonders after the beast. I've said this before. I say it again. It is so obvious that they are beasts. Look at their football teams. Look at the football teams. They call them the beast. Most all of them are either named after devils or beasts. Most all that they do, they've got to name it the Elks Club or the Lions Club or the Moose Club or some kind, because they belong to the beast. It's the world. It's their system. They are beasts. They feel relative to the beast. They want to do like the beast. They don't want to have anything to govern them in their eating habits. They don't want anything to govern them in their passions. They don't want anything to govern them in any manner, any way of spending. The only way that you can govern a beast is through pressure and through law. Did you know that? The only reason that the beast world will have any kind of diet adjustment is because they're afraid their bellies will rot out with cancer. And the doctors tell them if they don't do it, they're going to die of a heart attack. And they get them scared. Otherwise, they smoke and chew and dip and drink and fight and fuss and wrestle and box and run and jump and roll in the mud and holler and scream and jump the hoops and jump the bars and race the cars and run them into each other and turn them over till they go slap totally crazy. It was proven in the old age, way back in the days of the arenas, that they'd actually go to, they'd feed them to the lions or put gladiators out there and let them burst each other's brains out. They don't have any sense of reasoning. They're beasts. When two beasts get at each other, there's no way to stop them unless they're, as far as them stopping, they'll just fight till death usually. They'll just keep on, keep on, and keep on. Once you get them enraged just right, they'll tear each other apart. But with sons and daughters of God, we all are of a good understanding. All of us are of a good understanding. We don't have to go to college. I've said this before to you. You take a dog, all a dog knows is what you teach him. You take a monkey, all a monkey knows is what you teach him. An animal, a horse, all he knows is what you teach him. If it's to teach him to jump through a hoop he goes. If you teach him to roll over, he rolls over. That's the way the world is. They're beasts. All they know is their educational system. They run them through from the time they're children, and they teach them ABC 1, 2, 3. To make a dollar, and don't care how you get it, as long as you can stay out of jail, it's legal. And it's good business. But if you get caught, it was a bad business, and they don't like you anymore because you're a bad fellow. If you can figure a way to finagle out of it, as the world says, they'll reinstate you and say that you had a bad break. What is it? You say to a dog, set up. He sets up, give me your paw. He gives his paw. That's all they know. They don't know anymore. They're beasts. Their minds are programmed to that kind of thing. You get them out of that and they're completely lost. They don't know anything else. But sons and daughters of God, you don't have to program their minds like that. The Bible said all of them are of a good understanding. They've got a differentiating power that they can reason and they can understand and they can see beyond the veil and they can comprehend things. And the great Holy Ghost, the great Spirit of God, the great life of God, the great understanding of God is forever enlightening them and talking to them and teaching them and leading them all the time to greater heights of understanding and abilities. And they have an inter-ability. They possess an inter-ability that makes them think for themselves and do things according to the way they want to do it. But all of the others follow the same old pattern. I say, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, you go back and pick up Al Capone. You go back and pick up the heavyweight boxers. Go back and pick up the wrestlers. Go back and pick up the businessmen. Go back and pick up anybody that you want to. They'll follow the same old pattern. You go back as far as Cain. The Bible said his people, they were learned as artificers of brass. And watch them all down through the years. They just repeat themselves because that's all they know. They're like animals. They just repeat themselves. They do the same thing over. They make a car this year or a chariot this year. They make a car next year. They make a balloon or Zebulun next year. How do you understand what I'm saying? They just do the same thing over and over. But sons and daughters of God venture out into places, understanding in worlds to come, that the professors of this world, if you even talk to them about it, they'd use the terms, you've blowed my mind. They don't understand. They can't comprehend. Because they're beasts. All of the world wondered after the beast. Where does the beast start? Where does it come from? It comes from the tree of knowledge. It starts with the educational system. How does it survive? Through the educational system. What does it feed off of? The educational system of knowledge. The tree of knowledge. How does it continue in the world? Through education. The same old make a dollar, get a dollar, save a dollar. Make a dollar, get a dollar, save a dollar. Educate your children to get another dollar, make a dollar, get a dollar, save a dollar. The same old routine, round and around and around and around. And this one trying to do it a little better than the one before him done it. All the same thing. But the children of God feel different. The children of God look around and they say, this world belongs to me. Hallelujah. This is my world. The stars are mine. The heavens are mine. The earth is mine. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to me. God has given it to me. He has given it to me. It belongs to me. All things are mine. And he understands that he doesn't have to strive to get things because all things are his. So he's not wondering after the world. He's not lusting after the world. He's not thirsting after the world. All he wants to do is define life. One great thing that he's looking for, and that's life. He is constantly searching, trying to find life, while the world is lovers of pleasure. They're seeking after pleasure. They'd love to stay alive, all right. And they've got all kind of scientific research on how to break down the enzymes and do something for the physical man and figure out how to stay alive as far as keeping this old body functioning so they can go to another ball game or living up or have a frolic or make another dollar. They'd like to do that. But children of God are looking for life. They are searching for life. They have the understanding that if a person has life, they own all things. Like I said not too long ago, it stands to reason, my brother, that the man that lives the longest is the one that's going to own the property. You say, I've got more money than he has. That don't mean a thing. You take your millions of dollars and buy all of the land. And then you die and leave him around and see who it belongs to. The man that lives longest is the man that's going to own it. You say, well, who's going to live the longest? I am. Now, if you're a son of God, you're going to live the longest with me. We're going to live the longest. We're going to outlive that beast generation. Is that right? We're going to outlive them. They can pile up the money and education and governmental systems, and they can fight wars and do whatever they want to. They can steal and fight and fuss and do whatever they want to. But brother, when they're all dead, I'm still going to be standing there to claim my inheritance. All things are mine. You say, how do you get that? Jesus said so. So like, that doesn't give it to you just because he said it in the Bible. He said, whatever I believe in my heart, I believe it in my heart. Isn't that right? Said that man can say anything he wants to say. If he believes it in his heart, don't doubt, he'll have whatever he says. I say that all of it belongs to me, and I don't doubt it a bit in my heart. So if you want to share it, you can be friends with me. We'll share it. Hallelujah. You know, when they go to the moon, they have to stake out the claim. The first one that gets there, isn't it right? So I got up here, I staked out my claim. You love Jesus? All of the world wondered after the beast, but folks, we're not wandering after the flesh. We're not living after the flesh. The Bible said if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. To be carnally minded is death. To wander after the carnal mind is to displease God. It's to upset God. It is contrary to God. It is at enmity with God. When you think naturally, desire naturally, when you act naturally, you are God's enemy. It repels the Holy Spirit. You've got to coordinate with God. You've got to program your mind according to a spiritual word, according to a spiritual mind, according to a spiritual understanding. If you want what God's got, you've got to be spiritual. Is that right? So then what we need to do is to be spiritual, my brother, sister. We need to have a spiritual understanding. We don't need to follow the old beast. We don't need to follow the flesh. We don't need to follow our passions. We don't need to follow our ideas and ambitions. I say this again. When people go to ball games, I want you to hear me, Bethlehemites especially, and everybody else that can hear me. When people go to ball games, it doesn't make any difference if it's volleyball, football, basketball, whatever kind of ball game it is. They are not children of God. Nobody that's born again, that's got Christ in their heart, is going to spend their time at ball games. Nobody. You say, well, that's just the church you belong to. I know it is. And I belong to the heavenly church of God, the one and only true church of the firstborn. And they don't have ball teams if they don't go to ball games. So it's the church that you belong to. You need to get out of it and join this heavenly, one and only church that the Bible calls the church of the firstborn. So then the Bible said, we have come to the mount wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. And the Bible said, our spirit has been justified by faith in God. Therefore, because it has been justified by faith in God, it has been made perfect forever. So then we are not wandering after the beast. You know, and I know, that you're not going to find Jesus around the frolics of the world. Somebody said, well, I take him to Six Flags with me. You didn't take Jesus to Six Flags with you. Because he doesn't spend his time at Six Flags. He's got better things to do. You say, you don't think he would go there? On one condition. He might go there looking for a lost sheep if he could find one, if he thought there's one over our suffering, and he could get in there and get him out of there. That'd be the only way. You don't think he'd go there and take some rides with me? God is not a fool. You love the Lord? God don't ride Ferris wheels. Jesus didn't spend his time riding merry-go-rounds and riding race cars and running after rubber balls. He didn't then, and he doesn't today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I believe that when you get to where you got to go to dog races and horse races and frog races, you know, I know this sounds comical, but you know, and I know, I've seen them do it, they will block off a city block and stop the traffic and get two frogs to run side by side to have a race. And not only that, but before they'll be outdone and having a contest, I read a few days ago where they had the spitting contest. They did. And I can't remember what it was. I believe it was Bully of the Woods that was chewing. I can't remember. Anyway, Bully of the Woods, Bloodhound, or whatever it was, they was chewing and spitting. And I think the little boy outspitted them all. I think he spitted farther than any of them. And it was a great thing. He had a big write-up in the paper about it. He was the spitting champion. And they said if you made a mistake and got to spit alone, you, well, that didn't count. If it splattered, you know. Now, isn't that awful, folks? Can't you imagine the God of heaven looking down on his human beings and they're over here chewing and a-chumping on some kind of cud, having a spitting contest, and across the street over here, the other half is over there raging and going on about two frogs, one outrunning the other. Now, don't you know, then they say, take this man down to the insane asylum, he's crazy. There's a good possibility that the man they put behind the bars at the insane asylum had more sense than them that went to the spitting contest and stood out there and hoorayed for the frogs. As a matter of fact, I got a feeling that all of this thing about the frogs and the spitting contest and all this other junk they got going on is what's causing some of them to lose their mind. They've done got to where they don't even know what sanity is anymore. If they try to worship God, somebody said, send them to a psychiatrist, they're crazy. You go down to the psychiatrist and say, well, what do you think I ought to do? Well, you ought to go to a spitting contest and a frog race. Then you're considered sane. Race horses, race dogs, race anything. Play football, making a joke out of it. I believe they asked Gene Autry about his lost angels out there. They call them the Los Angeles baseball players, I believe it is. He owns that team out there. I think he made a joke out of it saying, he lost. They said something about it. He said, well, that's why they call them the Los Angels. Things ain't doing too good in heaven, I believe he said. Made a joke out of it. Brother, sister, I'll tell you one thing. God doesn't spend his time with that kind of stuff. And you that are doing it, and you that's got part in it, and you that are supporting it, God is going to get you for it. I remember a man over in Olive Branch, Mississippi. I warned him against things like that. And he started making money and he got a little prestige in the town. And they started pulling on him. And they said, we're building a park over here where the boys can play baseball and the boys can do this. Give us a little money. So he gave him a little money. It wasn't long before his boy had had a wreck and got killed. You understand what I'm saying? Say, well, Brother Pike, yours might get killed. It might do it. He might do it. Before morning, he might do it. But, brother, by the help of God, it won't be because I give somebody some money to play baseball with unless I did it in my ignorance, not knowing it. Praise God. You understand what I'm saying? He said, well, you don't know that that's why his boy got killed. I sure don't. It could have been another reason altogether. But I'm just trying to point out some things to you. That you can't play with God. You can't do the thing that the world is doing. You can't take baseball and pool rooms, volleyball and horse racing, movies and all of these things into the church. You can't do these things. And God lets you buy with it. You can't do it. If you want to be a ball player, go with the world. If you want to be a horse racer, go with the world. If you want to be part of Esau's family, go with the world. If you want to make money and get gain, go with the world. But if you want to be a Christian and a child of God, then line up with the Bible. Don't be double-minded and have God to spew you out of his mouth. At least get one side or another. The Bible said Moses, rather than enjoy sin for a season when he had the prestige of Egypt, he chose to suffer the afflictions with the righteous. Get on one side or another. If you want to listen to rock and roll, get out there with the world and go with the rock and roll. Don't try to bring it on the campground. Don't put it in your car and call yourself a Christian and say, well, it don't bother me. I can listen to anything I want to. It just doesn't faze me. I'm one of them that it doesn't faze. You know, I hear people a lot of times, they say, well, some folks can't listen to this or do this, and I understand, and they shouldn't do it. They say, but little old things like that don't bother me. You know why it don't bother you? Because you're a hypocrite. You know why it don't bother you? Because you've already seared your conscience with a hot iron, and them little old things don't bother you because the big things don't bother you. You're a hypocrite. That's what you are. You've already seared your conscience. It doesn't bother you. That's why it doesn't bother you. You done got past feeling. But brother, if you'll stay tender in your conscience, if you'll serve God, them little things will bother you. And I'll tell you something else. The Bible said little foxes spoil the vines, and our vines have tender grapes. And the Bible teaches that we should set no evil thing before our eyes. Isn't that right? That we're to have a virtuous heart, and if anything have any virtue in them, that we should think on these things. I tell you something, children of God. Paul said, for all of those things, horse racing and ball games, television parties and dope addicts and all, for these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. For these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Do you think that God sends men like Brother Pike to spend their lives standing up hollering and screaming across the world till they're hoarse, till they're beat down in body year after year, screaming and hollering and fasting and praying and telling and doing all that they know to do? Send them to tell you that you're going to go to hell for doing these things, and then God is going to turn around and say, that's all right, don't worry about it. It's really not that serious. My brother, sister, it's far more serious than you could ever imagine. The Bible said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Few. It's a straight gate. And I want to remind you again, the word straight there is like a straight jacket. It's spelt according to a straight jacket, which means it's just exactly your size and no more. And it fits one thing, and that's Jesus. He said, I'm the way. It's form-fitting to the body of Jesus, and anybody that isn't the size of Jesus, in every respect of the word, he don't get through that gate. Only the body of Jesus will pass through that straight fit. If it's anything that's out of sorts, it won't go through that gate. I had a vision not too long ago, and I had gone through a gate, and I was on the other side, and I was trying my best to get somebody through the gate, but I couldn't. They were too fat. And I pulled, and I tugged, and I was all tore up because I was desperate. I knew I had to get them through that gate, but I couldn't get them through that gate. You know what I believe it was? Too much worldly goods. I believe that people get too much worldly goods, and when they do, you can't get them past that gate. How hardly shall they inherit the kingdom? So then I believe that was the trouble. I couldn't get the person through the gate. You love Jesus? So then all of the world wandered after the beast. Now I'm going to close in just a few minutes. All of the world wandered after the beast. And all of the membership of the beast is going to head up in that great Superman that's going to come up, the Bible says, out of the bottomless pit. For he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And all of the world is going to wander after him. The beast that was, that is, he was here one time in this world. But John in 96 A.D. said he's not here at this time, or the angel did. Said John, he's not around at this year and season. He was, he is not, but he is. That is, he was here, but he isn't here now, but he will come back. He will be here. For he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And folks, if we don't get away from the flesh, corruptible flesh, I try my best from this sacred desk to show you how vulnerable, how evil, how corrupt, how detestable, how undesirable you are in the sight of God as a human being. You're so undesirable, you're so detestable, you're so repulsive that God could not rest day and night, as we say, until he nailed you to the tree and poured out the greatest wrath and fury that heaven could afford upon you. You're so detestable that he couldn't rest till he poured out his greatest fury upon you. That's why he put Jesus there. That's the way that you look to him in your natural. But when you are born again, he considers you then dead to the old woman or the old man, the human body, whether boy or girl or whatever. He plants you in the watery grave, and he doesn't see you anymore as that detestable person, but as the image of his beloved Son, Jesus. All of the world, he has to give the shed blood of grace for a time to even be able to stand their presence. Otherwise, he'd sweep them from over the face of the earth. The very moment that the blood is taken off of the mercy seat, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against them. The waters are turned to blood. They have to drink blood. The stars will fall from heaven. The heat will scorch them until it's unbearable. Hell will come down upon them. Fire and brimstone will torment them forever and ever. That's what God thinks about them. My brother, sister, if you don't have the blood covering, if you haven't overcome by the blood of the Lamb, or that is your word of confession or testimony to it, you need to do something, because all of the world wandered after the beast, and the end of the world is right at hand. It's right at hand. And you, if you are not born again, you are detestable in his sight. And he said, I am angry with the wicked every day. There is not one day that goes by but what God don't hate their image. He said, in the morning when I move the blood covering to where I have to look at them, he said, I'll hate their image. That old beastly, corruptible image, I'll hate it, and I'll burn it with fire. And the only thing that holds his wrath back now is the blood of Jesus. But you that are born to the image of Jesus, he'll love your image in the morning, because you will be the image of his beloved Son. So I tell you, children of God, press in, do right. Don't ever trust in the human righteousness. Don't ever trust in your human ability. Don't ever put any confidence in any of your human abilities or endeavors toward righteousness or whatever. It's all as filthy rags unless it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're not doing everything as unto God and for Christ's sake and giving God the glory and doing it in His person and in His image as unto God, it is detestable in the sight of God. It is self-righteousness and God will not receive it. So then whatever you do, you turn to God with all of your heart, with all of your life, with all of your mind. Do everything you can to keep condemnation out of your heart so that you can believe in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and get away from the world. Quit adding little things to your life that are worldly. Quit these things that I made mention of this morning of gossip and backbiting and whatever. Get away from the world. Because I'm going to say this in closing, when you do the things of the world, when after that you have received the knowledge of the truth, you are not a child of God. After that you have received the knowledge of the truth and you continue to do the things of the world and find pleasure in those things and in them that do those things, to associate with them or to have a desire to be with them, you do not have God nor eternal life. If you have the nature of Jesus, you will rejoice in holy, godly things, and you will have your mind in spiritual things, and you will be spiritually minded, and you'll want to be with the brethren or with spiritual people, and you'll have no desire, no pleasure in trying to get worldly goods or carry on worldly entertainment or be mixed up in worldly frolics or be with worldly people. You'll have no desire, whether it's your children, whether it's your mother, whether it's your relatives, whether it's something that you've got going among your own people or employees or whatever, if you have any. So then, all of the world wondered after the beast, but we're not of the world. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. We are those that dwell in heaven. He hath chosen us out of this world, hid us with God in Christ, whom the heavens have received, and we are sitting in those heavenly places. I want you to stand with me. I come here night after night to pray with you, to talk with you, and to do what I can to help you. Because I want God to strengthen you, and I want God to help you. And I'll do anything I can to help you and to strengthen you. I'll do whatever I can. I'll tell you the truth. It's like I was telling some brethren today, talking to Brother Jerry and some of them. I could have many millions of dollars without a doubt. The Lord showed me how. But folks, when you take people's money, you have to make allowance for their disposition in life. That is to say, when you take people's money, you have to compromise with their warped up outlook. So I don't take people's money, so I don't have to agree with their warped up outlook. I don't take their offerings, so I don't have to compromise with their sin. God provides my needs, so I preach the gospel like it is. I do it for your sake. The Bible said the priests love gifts. Many ministers take people's money. And those ministers, many of them would preach what's right. And they would do what's right. But they done got themselves in a snare. And those people, because those ministers are in a financial bind, and they've got to have that money to keep from going to jail or to keep their projects going, they lean to those people, and those people have to support their causes, and those people make them bend over and compromise with their sinful desires. But I praise God for keeping me out of that. And I don't have to do that, brother, sister. So then I tell you like it is tonight, the Lord meets our needs. I've got brethren here. I've had some of them that's come in and out of little Bethlehem that's tried to make me bend their way. You know it. You've seen them put me under pressure here. You've seen them put me under pressure at men's meeting. You've seen them stew and fuss and pout and act up and do all kind of ways and let me know that they wasn't going to be part of little Bethlehem and they wasn't going to support it and all these kind of things. But you've seen how much Brother Pike cared. God supported us anyway. And you see that Brother Pike didn't get in trouble. They got in trouble. And they'll continue to do it. But we got brethren here that want the right thing, that believe in the right thing, that support the right thing. There are some women that are clean and holy. Did you know that? By the blood of Jesus. There's some men that are clean and holy by the blood of Jesus. But there ain't nobody clean and holy without Jesus. If you are my follower, I want you to hold fast to this one thing. It's like I was telling Dale today. I was talking to her today. And I said, Dale, you do one thing. I said, don't you ever have any confidence in a human being. Never. I said, don't you ever have any confidence in any living human being on the face of this earth. She said, but you've got to have confidence in somebody. I said, no, you don't want confidence in nobody. Nobody. You don't want to put no confidence in your mother. You don't want to put no confidence in your dad. You don't want to put no confidence in your grandparents. You don't want to put no confidence in the president. You don't want to put no confidence in the king. You don't want to put no confidence in the preacher. You don't want to put no confidence in your son. You don't put no confidence in your daughter. You don't put no confidence in your husband, in your wife, daddy, mother, whatever. You don't want to put confidence in nobody. Jesus Christ is the only one you want to put any confidence in. I warn you that if you put confidence in any other living human being, you'll be betrayed and you'll be hurt. There's not a living man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. If you can see Christ in your wife, just as much of Christ as you see, you put that much confidence in her. Have you see Christ in your husband, just that much you put confidence in your husband. If you see confidence in your mother, your daddy, just that much you put confidence in them. Don't go one tad beyond it. If you see Christ in your minister, you put just that much in your minister. Don't go one tad above it. Anybody that you're associated with, anybody that you're dealing with, anybody that you have a business negotiation with, whatever. You may think he's a good businessman. You may think he's a straight shooter. But the Bible said there's not a man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not one. All of them have gone astray and every man looks to his own quarter for his own gain. That man, he may look straight, but he's looking for his gain. If he's walking straight, he's walking straight for one purpose, and that's so he can get his gain. He's got that in mind. That's his motive. But brother, the man that loves God, the woman that loves God, them that have Christ in their life, them that's following hard after Christ, have one desire, that's to please the Master. Jesus said, I do always the things that please the Father. So the Bible said, we are they that have no confidence in daddy and mother, brother and sister. You say, Brother Pike, don't say that. Preacher, businessman, whoever. You say it doesn't say that. The Bible said we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. All of our confidence is in God. I want my people at Bethlehem to always remember that. Brother, let's walk in the Spirit and let's not know any man after the flesh. The Bible said to know no man after the flesh. But to know every man after the Spirit. Tell what kind of spirit he's got. If he's of the Spirit of Christ, your confidence can rest in Christ. But if you go to measure him by his flesh, you'll measure him by wealth. You'll measure him by human ability. You'll measure him by the powers of ingenuity. You'll measure him by PhDs and education. And you'll fall into a snare. You'll measure him by position in this world. A brother don't know him after the flesh. Pay no attention to him after the flesh. Treat him just like anybody else. Know him after the Spirit. Find out what he is in the Spirit, what he's doing in the Spirit, what his spiritual status is. All right? You love Jesus? I'll tell you good doctrine, brethren. It'll stand when the world's on fire. It'll keep you all the days of your life from heartaches and disappointments, woes and sorrows, and you'll look back in years to come and you'll say, the Word of God is true. Let every man be a liar, but the Word of God is true. It proved out to be just that way. Those that I was so sure wouldn't betray me, they did. They did. Let me say this, and we're going to sing a chorus. You know, you've got a little home, you've got a car, you've got a wife, you've got a family. You've got something to look forward to, seemingly. But we're so selfish and greedy. The Bible said greedy dogs that don't never get enough, never having enough to share, always got to wait till we get another dollar, then we're going to share. But you know, it's like a picture I was looking at down in Brother Mitch's office. Here was a little old woman. Her face had been eaten all up. Her nose was eaten away. Her face was eaten away. She was a freak. It was a horrible, hideous, terrifying sight. Her little old hands had been eaten away, and all she had was a nub. She stood there so pitiful, a horrible, hideous, tormented being. You see, she didn't have any life, did she? Oh, yes, she had life as much as you've got life flowing through her body. But what convenient would a home prove to be to her? Or a nice mirror hanging on the wall? Or a nice automobile? Or money in the bank? Or all of the nice refineries of life? What if your face was in that kind of condition and your hands was like that and your feet was Eda? See how selfish we are. Why don't we put ourselves in her place and say, Jesus, she doesn't have any life. Therefore, you said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. Lord, from here on out, I'm going to just take it that I don't have any life. And I'm going to be like the little woman that can't ever have any life in this world. And I'm going to lay down my life and let my life's labor and ambition and desire from this day forward be to help the needy, to publish the gospel, to help the underprivileged, and give my life completely without reservation of heart and without change in the future. Completely to God's kingdom and humanity and to the cause of the rehabilitation of mankind. He that loseth his life here shall gain it. He that hath all the conveniences of this life to save his life in this world, the Bible said he shall lose it. He shall lose it. You're not going to have life on both sides. You're going to give one of them up. God's ordained that you're going to give one of them up. You save it on this side, you're going to lose it on the other side. You do all you want to save it on this side, but you can be sure that God doesn't make any mistakes. And they that save it on this side is going to lose it on the other side. You say, well, Solomon saved his over here, but as far as we know, he fell away from God in his old age. You say, well, David was rich on this side, as far as we know. Murder, adultery, sorrow, heartaches, fasting till he said, my bones stir at me. Misery, torment, and torture accompanied every bite and morsel of bread and every day that he lived. Wars and whatever. Brother, remember, you got to lay it down for Christ on this side if you're going to preserve it unto eternal life. Now then, we want to pray for you. There's a sister that come up here. I believe she wants to be prayed for tonight. She'll come on up. We'll pray for her. She come this morning to be prayed for. This little line may be long enough to get over here. Now the Lord loves you. God wants to heal you. God wants you healthy and happy. He wants you whole. He will heal you. He will keep you happy. There's nothing too hard for God. If you want something from God, you can have it. You say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. That's the reason you don't have it. That's the reason that you don't have it. Jesus said, it don't matter what you want. Ask it in my name, I'll do it. You are a sovereignty. You are an individual. You have the power of request. Whatever you want, you can have it. But you know, it's like I said this evening, I was talking to somebody. Spiritual things are like natural things. If you want to succeed naturally, excel in the natural, you have to have a great exuberance in life. You have to get built up in a great state of ecstasy and drive. And when you go to buy on credit, or purchase, or set forward in a project with great drive and exuberance, you have to retain that same drive and exuberance when you go to pay for that thing you purchased. And there is no days of feeling good or feeling bad in success. There is no such thing as days of feeling good or feeling bad in the world of success. You have one mind and one drive, and that is, I will do it. Whether it's yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Whether you feel good or feel bad or feel worse. You meet that demand, you have that drive, you go forth with that perseverance. And as you make the commitment today, whether you feel good tomorrow or not, you have the same drive and perseverance to drive it home that you have the day of the commitment. That, in general, spells success in this world. Brother, sister, it's the same thing in the world of faith. There is no such thing as double-mindedness in God in receiving what you want. There is no such thing in that. You have one goal. That is, God said it, I believe it. It's got to be that way, it's going to happen. You don't change from it today, yesterday, or tomorrow. It's always the same. I want to say this to encourage your faith just before I pray for you. There is no such thing as anything too hard for God. No such thing. We, in our human observation, survey a matter with our eyes and intelligence, and we decide what God can do and what God can't do, and that which we've never seen Him do, or that which we've decided is too hard for Him, as far as we're concerned, that won't ever happen. But God doesn't think like that. And I say again concerning faith, there is no yesterday, today, and tomorrow with God. There is but one day, and that is the day that everything takes place that you ask for. One eternal day with God, you ask it in that day, you get it the same day you ask. The sun never goes down with God, nor the sun never goes up. So when you put off something, you put it off because of your thinking that God has a tomorrow. Not because God does have a waiting period. And you might say, Brother Pike, I just don't believe that I've got that kind of faith because it don't happen to me. I want you to judge this tonight. I've said this to the people here before, and I want you to judge it tonight. How do you remember Peter? How do you remember the story of Peter walking on the water? Now, how many remember Peter walking on the water? Peter walking on the water, did he have faith? How could he have walked on the water if he did not have faith? He had so much faith that he could walk on the water. The same thing that Jesus did by his powerful act of faith in reaching down and taking Peter's hand to keep him from drowning. Just a few minutes before Jesus did that, that same drowning Peter had the same masterful faith, stood in the same masterful position, could have reached out the same masterful hands to a drowning man like himself, and did the same masterful thing that Jesus did to save his life. So could Peter have done to another man, isn't that right? But one minute, Peter was a master by faith. The next minute, Peter was drowning. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what he did, he lost his faith. Absolutely not so. Peter didn't lose his faith. You say, well, he just didn't have the faith. Absolutely not true. He walked on the water and proved he had the faith. How could you doubt it? He later raised the dead, proved he had the faith, which proves he didn't lose it. You say, well, what happened? I'm just trying to say that you can be a person that might have faith that is so great and powerful that other human beings wouldn't even be a match for it. And yet you might not even be enjoying enough of the power of faith in your life to pay your bills or to even live an overcoming life. There was a moment in Peter's life when he wasn't even exercising enough faith and ability to keep from cursing, to even live an overcoming life, to even keep from denying the Lord God that made him. Are you listening? The same powerful Peter that had the same powerful faith. What was the difference? Peter lost his faith. No, Peter lost his inspiration. Jesus, the Word, inspired Peter when he said, come to me. And as long as Peter looked at the Word or looked at Jesus and held on to the inspiration of the Word, he was a master. The very minute he got his eyes and mind off of the Word and on the surrounding circumstances, on the terrors of life, the inspiration lifted. The same as it was with Adam, he was out of the garden. Down he went. His faith failed him. Brother, sister, I just said that to say this. If Peter's faith from the boat reacted so greatly, so quickly, and reacted so poorly in such a short manner after he had been so great in his act of faith, then it proves that your faith within a flickering moment can go up or down. You say, how, Brother Pike? By one thing. Jesus said, let a man in his heart say what he will. Let him decree a thing, it shall come to pass. Let him say what he will, not doubt in his heart. Now I want you to listen to this real close. Mark 11:22. Peter looking at the tree that had withered from the roots, saying, Master, it is withered up. Jesus said, have faith in the word, in God. For I say unto you, that if you believe in God, ye shall not only do what is done unto this tree. Now I want you to notice this. He didn't say Peter. He didn't say Paul. He didn't say that generation. Nor a certain person. He said, but I say unto you that whosoever, anybody in any generation, at any time, past, present, or future, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Not just saying to the mountain being removed, but he can have whatever he says. He can say anything. It doesn't matter what it is. He'll have it. Somebody would then say, Brother Pike, where the trouble is, Jesus said, if he says anything and believes that it will come to pass. Somebody would say, then the one hang-up is believing that it come to pass. No, that's not it. It is a true fact that believing that it comes to pass is the thing that he placed the emphasis on. If any man will believe that what he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But the key to the whole thing wasn't that. The key to the whole thing was if he believe in his heart and doubt not. That's where the hang-up is. One flicker of doubt stops it that quick. One flicker of doubt sent Peter down beneath the water. One flicker of doubt. And I wish we had time just to elaborate on it tonight. But there is a way to stop it. And the church is going to discover it. And we're at the time of the discovery. And it's going to take us home to be with him. I want you to lift your hands up and we're going to pray for you. And we love you tonight. We pray for you. Many things don't happen, but some things do happen. Jesus prayed for people. There was numbers of things that didn't happen, but some things did happen. So it was with the apostles. Brother Branham prayed for things. Many things didn't happen. Some things did happen. I was talking last night about the Wrights, which was his closest friends. A girl by the name of Edith. She was hopelessly crippled. He was in and out of the families around them all of his life. They kept Billy Paul for him. Many miracles took place, but Edith never was healed. She sat in a wheelchair in his meetings, in his presence, day after day. But God did his work. David of old was a great prophet. Many miracles took place. But Saul's son sat at his table with regularity and eat as a cripple and was never healed. Many things happen to encourage the faith of some. Some things don't happen to bring out the criticism and the unbelief in others. Thus God has his way in the good and the evil. The scales are balanced because the believing are going to believe and the skeptics are going to criticize. I want to pray tonight. I want you to believe with me. The sister needs a touch from God and she believes that God will touch her or she wouldn't have come this far. She was here especially for prayer this morning. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, as I pray for my sister, I ask thee first of all for the forgiveness of my sins. Oh, Heavenly Father, and I feel your lovely anointing, the anointing of your darling Son, Jesus. Father, heal and restore. Hallelujah. You said, I will restore that the cankerworm has eaten, the years that the locusts have consumed. I will restore, saith the Lord. Restore, create, heal, forgive, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel faith, sister. I really feel faith. Father, bless my brother. I ask you to touch him in the name of Jesus. May your great spirit, your great power, your great presence be upon him, to guide him, to help him to see, help him to believe, help him to understand. And when problems and troubles arise, make a way. Father, I felt his faith go out to you. Hallelujah. When I said that, oh God, he believed. He accepted your word in what I said. I want you to bless him. As his heart spoke to me in faith, I want you to bless him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the presence of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to bless my brother. Lift his faith up and encourage him in Jesus' name. Let your great spirit come down from out of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Thou art no respect of person that forgiveth our sins and iniquities. Holy Father, O Ramanduri Andorabashi to Ramanduramosaya, O Lamasi Alamo Shalabalasai, O Ramanduramakaramashiatabosai. Father, I feel your anointing right now. O Ramanduri Andorabashi to Bariandorabosaya, heal, forgive. Touch in Jesus' name, and the problems of this life, and the disorders of this life, and of this body, correct them. Oh, and move the heartaches and sorrows, Lord of this life. Oh, God, and restore. Lord God, thou canst bless. Thou canst heal, thou canst restore. And Father, wherever broken hearts and broken lives and broken homes are, Lord, you always restore. You always mend. You always bless. I ask you to grant it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, touch this brother in the name of Jesus. Heal him in Jesus' name tonight. Strengthen Roger. Give him a touch from heaven. Grant it, Jesus. Encourage his faith. Help him to sincerely believe. There's no make-believe, Father. For you're real in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, touch Benny in Jesus' name. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon him. Help him in the name of Jesus to understand and believe. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, touch these little ones in the name of the Lord. As I lay hands upon them, touch them in the name of the Lord. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon them. May they feel your presence. May they feel your presence. Oh, God, encouragement in Jesus' name. Let them feel the encouragement of the Lord. They seek a touch from heaven, Father. Lord, bless Tommy. Lord, help him not to worry, for dear God of heaven, you'll stand by him. His problems, oh God, in the sick of his family, you'll bless them and bring them out. Undalamasi andoramosh andoramosandoramanaya. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, my Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Just believe, Tommy. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, touch these little ones. Touch them with your great spirit. Let your wonderful spirit be upon them. Touch them tonight. Let them feel your presence, Lord, as we lay hands upon them. In Jesus' lovely name. Father, touch our brother. Break every yoke. Uramando Ramashida Bariandramosaya. Undaramasandariandaramu Karamarabasai. Ilamandaliandalamo Shandariandaramu Sandaramosaya. Oh, hallelujah. In your name, Jesus, we praise thee tonight. In your name, Jesus, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, touch Bob tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, may thy spirit, O God, be upon Bob. Renew within him a right spirit. Renew within him the covenant of the Lord, a zeal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, I feel God. I feel God speaking unto some of you. Praise God. I feel God speaking unto you. As a matter of fact, I feel words of prophecy coming. Lord, touch this little girl in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Touch my sister tonight in Jesus' name. May the wonderful presence of God be here tonight. And may you, oh Lord, I feel you healing right now. I felt her faith go out to God. I feel faith in this prayer line tonight, Father. I feel these people believing tonight. Lord, there's real, genuine faith here tonight. I want you to heal. Oh, Ramanda Ramashida Barianda Ramosanda Ramosaya. Oh, Ramasya Ramoshita Ramanda Rianda Ramosaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Ramanda Ramanda Ramosaya. Hallelujah, God speaking to y'all tonight. I can hear his voice, Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch my sister tonight. May your spirit be upon her tonight. May the hand of God touch her body, her spirit tonight. The name of Jesus, help her to lift up her faith, taking the shield of faith, Holy Father. Why dost thou fear? Yea, why is it that thou art afraid? Hath not the Lord said unto thee that thou shalt not be afraid? Hast thou been afraid? For what reason hast thou been afraid? And who is he that maketh thee afraid? Has not the Lord directed thee and kept thee? Hast not the Lord guided thee down through the years? Hast not he delivered thee from one thing and then another? Hast not the Lord been kind to thee and watched over thee? Hath not the Lord fed thee? Hath not the Lord stood by thee when even thy closest friends have forsaken thee? Has not the Lord been a friend and God to thee? How is it then that thou wouldest doubt in the hour when thou shouldest believe? Hallelujah. Let's love Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, touch this little sister in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord be here. For I feel your presence. Break the yoke. You said the anointing would break the yoke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. If you'll just believe tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, you said if we can believe. Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I ask you to stretch out your wonderful healing hand tonight to heal and to deliver. And, oh, God, to answer the request of this heart tonight. Oh, Lord, as we plead for those that we love. And, Father, we plead for the hand of God in our lives. Lord, we plead with thee that thou mightest hear from heaven. Lord, and for the consoling words that cometh from on high. May the hand of the Lord be upon us. Heal, forgive, touch, and deliver. Bless this precious sister in Jesus' name, Lord. Bless the little ones in Jesus' name. Father, bless our sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, may the hand of the Lord be upon her. Father, she forsook all to come this way. And she's courageously stood, not yielding up in the battle, but day after day, she's courageously stood. Father, give us strength, Lord, as we journey on toward that great city and the great promises of God. Strengthen her. Bless her. Meet the needs in Jesus' name. Bless my little ones in Jesus' name. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, bless this brother in Jesus' name. May you touch Braxton tonight in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Knowing him, I feel you knowing him right now. I feel his faith being stirred. Hallelujah. Touch this little one in Jesus' name, my Lord. Father, touch this brother in the name of Jesus. Stretch out your healing hand. In the name of the Lord, help us to believe. Father, knowing that all things are possible to them that believe. Father, that we should decree a thing in our heart to never doubt Jesus, but to always believe. Father, to believe whether we feel good. To believe, Lord, when we feel bad. To believe, God, whether we're prosperous or to believe whether we be not prosperous. Believe what the Word of God has said in Jesus' name. Bless the little ones. Bless the little ones in Jesus' name, Lord. Bless the brother tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, bless him in his work. Bless him in his mission. Bless him in his endeavors. Give him wisdom and understanding. Perseverance. Drive, determination to go forth and to do something for God. Break every yoke. Lift his faith. Oh, I feel the anointing right now, God. I feel his faith right now. And I feel the anointing. The mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, bless the little one tonight. Bless him in Jesus' name. Father, bless the brother tonight in the dear, sweet, lovely name of Jesus. Strengthen him. Help him. Help him to hear from heaven. Oh, God, let us hear from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. I feel your presence, Jesus. I feel your presence tonight. Lord, bless John. Dear God, it warmed our hearts to know, Lord, that 19,000 pieces of literature, Lord, has gone out by the efforts of this man. Lord, let it be so, dear God, that from month to month, Lord, that the Word of God would go forth. heal, save, forgive, strengthen. Open the doors of evangelism. Open the doors that he can do something for thee in a great way, in Jesus' name. Bless Brother Richard tonight. Strengthen him, Lord. Bless him for the efforts that he's put forth in helping me in the ministry. Lord God, supplies every need. Work things out in Jesus' name, Father. Bless his little one tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, bless Brother Bill tonight. May your spirit be upon him, Father. And may this great Holy Ghost that I feel in my bosom, this great Holy Ghost that I feel upon me, dear God, may it rest upon Bill. Oh, Holy One of Heaven. Oh, Ramanda Ramashida Barara Messiah. May he be anointed, God, and may he be altogether desirous to do something for you, to excel in Jesus. And may he have no ambition in life, Father, but to please the Heavenly Father. Grant it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, bless these little ones tonight. As I lay hands upon them, bless them in Jesus' name. May his spirit be upon them, and may they feel your blessings. Heavenly Father, bless them as I lay hands on them. May they have the blessings of the Lord. Grant it in Jesus' name tonight as I touch him, Father. May your spirit be upon them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, bless this sister tonight in Jesus' name. God, bless her with your great spirit tonight. And Father, you know tonight, dear God, the heartaches, Lord, of the sons. And dear God, watch over them tonight. Strengthen them. Father, bless them. And I know you're doing it because I feel you're doing it right now. Oh, God, bless the sister. Strengthen and bless. Help to overcome in Jesus' lovely name. Hallelujah. Just come right around here, my sisters. Father, bless this little one tonight in Jesus' name. Bless the sister in Jesus' name tonight. May the lovely hand of God be upon her. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon her. Dear God, may every yoke be broken. And may the wonderful presence of Jehovah the Great be here in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel the yoke breaking right now. Hallelujah. I feel her faith going out to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I felt him break the yoke then, sister. You know, it's so wonderful when you feel the yoke break. Father, touch this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. May your spirit be upon her. May your spirit be upon her. May every yoke be broken. In the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For you said, if we can believe, Father, if we can believe. Oh, hallelujah. I believe, Father. I feel faith tonight, Jesus. I feel faith in the Son of God. I feel the yoke being broken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel faith from these hearts. I feel the yoke being broken. Father, may faith go up. I feel the yoke being broken. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's so wonderful to feel these yokes breaking over these people. Father, in the name of Jesus, the anointing breaks the yoke. May the yoke be broken. May our faith be in his righteousness. May our faith be in him tonight. Knowing that he's everything, we believe that we shall be saved by his blood. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, touch this sister tonight. Help her to believe, Jesus. Help her to trust in you tonight. God, help her to believe in your merits. Help her to believe in your righteousness. Help her to believe, dear God, that you love her, that you care for her. Lord, that you're concerned about her. And dear God, that you want her, oh God, to pray, to seek after you, to follow after you, to study your word. Lord, to lift up her faith and heart. I feel the yoke breaking right now. Feel her faith going out to you, Jesus, right now. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to break the yoke off of this sister tonight. May the yoke be broken tonight. Lift up her heart. Lift up her faith. Encourage her in faith tonight. Help her to believe. Father, when we ask thee the forgiveness of our sins, Lord, you said we should go our way and sin no more, lest the worst of thing come upon us. Therefore, help us not to sin. And he that sinneth, you said, let him sin no more. Father, therefore, let us not sin, but let us believe. Let us trust in his righteousness. O Ramandurama Shidabariandoramosandoramanaya. Olamasya Ramosharamamasai. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, touch this sister tonight. Help her to believe in the glory of God and in the righteousness of God tonight. To trust in his righteousness. God, to lift up her faith in thee tonight. For whatever, oh God, is the need, you said you would meet it. But God, you said we must believe. There is no make-believe, Jesus. We must believe. I ask you to lift her faith up in Jesus tonight. I ask you to bless and strengthen her in faith in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch Brother Michael in Jesus' name tonight. Touch him, oh God. Let him believe. Let the Spirit of the Lord be upon him tonight. Strengthen him in his efforts toward Christ. And all that he's doing, Father, help him. In Jesus' name. Father, touch Brother Ron tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon him. May he believe, oh God, as he trusts in the merits of Christ tonight, as he looks away to Calvary. Oh, Ramandurama Shandurabasaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Undurama Shidabariandurabo Sanduramo Sanduramanaya. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' name. Father, touch Freddie tonight. In the name of Jesus, give Freddie a real experience with God. Help him to believe tonight. Help him to know that you love him and that you're for him, Jesus. And oh, God, that you're working his behalf. Hallelujah. I feel you moving right now, Jesus. I felt God healing, and I felt the yoke being broken tonight. I'd like for Steve and him to bring little Joseph Paul up. I'd like to go ahead and dedicate him. You know, God is good, isn't that right? The Lord is so good. He is so good. Day after day, he blesses us. He is so wonderfully good. You know, we get under a bondage. We get under a yoke. Then when the yoke begins to tighten, we find ourselves not believing. Find ourselves becoming careless and unconcerned. We don't have the joy and the victory, but the anointing breaks the yoke. And I felt one right after another as the anointing broke the yoke tonight. When the yoke is broken, then that means that the flow of the great Holy Spirit, the lovely life of God, can begin to flow again. Can begin to come into your life again and give you strength again. You can begin to revitalize your spiritual system. strengthen your outer body and outer person in the wonderful goodness of God all over again. We're going to dedicate the baby. This is a beautiful little thing. We're going to dedicate the baby. They're naming this little one Joseph Paul, which is the name of Brother Brown's two sons, Billy Paul and Joseph. And that's something, because one has to do with the spirit, one has to do with the body. And going up there, this message had to do with the spirit. Brother Branham's people had to do with the body. The Gentile church of the spirit, the Jewish church of the body, everything coming together at this particular time. It really shows the significance of union of church and state, which will shortly come to pass. It's already happened. We spoke of it happening here a year or so ago. It was set in motion, and you'll see it even in a more profound way, because it must come together to show the end of the world and to show the redemption of the body, which means the translation of the church. And it is on the verge of happening. And it has to do with Ronald Reagan's. We told you a long time ago, watch Ronald Reagan's. The end of the world has to do with Ronald Reagan's. And church and state has to do with Ronald Reagan's. So you just watch the things that's about to transpire, and you'll see what we're saying. Father, in Jesus' precious, darling name, one day, as we look back, oh God, through pages of history, we see one day a little child by the name of Jesus was held in the arms of a darling mother and dad. Father, so proudly, godly proudly did they present the little one, oh Father, there at the priesthood. Father, being set for the rise and fall of a nation, dear God, that the hearts of many might be revealed, it was an outstanding thing, Heavenly Father. And now, dear Jesus, here we are again, another little child having a special meaning. And dear God, as we pray over this little one, we dedicate little Joseph Paul. Oh God, we dedicate him to Thee. Thou hast given him unto Stevie and to the wife. We give him back unto Thee. Lord, that You might bless Stevie. Lord, that You might bless the wife. God, that You might bless little Joseph Paul. God, that when he's hungry, that You might feed him. All the days of his life, that You might care for him. Lord, that You might make his enemies Your enemies. Father, that You might see that he hath blessings. Deliver him from fear, from the bondages of evil. And, oh God, always make a way for him when there's no way. I ask You to be with him. Help him to bring him up in the nutrient and admonition of the Lord. Help Stevie and the wife to train him accordingly. Bless him, protect him through life. We ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Don't you love Jesus? I want to say again, we appreciate these visitors that's come to be with us. Brother, Sister Keys. Our brother, sister from Tennessee. Brothers from Carolinas. The different ones that have come to be with us. We just appreciate them so very much. Appreciate our home folks coming, being with us in the morning service and evening service. Sad to say that some of them only come in the morning service, and I know some of them have to drive a long ways. But it's so much better when they come in both services. You need to be in all the services you can. You need to worship God all you can and get all of God that you can, because the end is at hand. The end of the world, the end of all things, beloved friend, is at hand. And you need to get every little thing out of your life. You need to get the world off of your mind. The love of the world's in you. The love of the Father's not there. You need to get the love of God in your heart. Forget about worldly things. God will give you all of them that you need if you'll serve Him. But get your mind on Jesus. Get your mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus one more time, and then we're going to let you go. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Now then, while you bow your heads with me, I'm going to ask Brother Jerry Lambert to come and dismiss us tonight. Just bow your heads with me. Lift your hands up to Jesus as our Brother Jerry Lambert comes. Think on Jesus tonight as he prays the prayer of benediction. Let's think on Jesus and on his wonderful grace and his wonderful love, Brother Jerry.